Blackbaud Church Management is the only church software backed by the world's leading cloud software company powering social good. This enterprise-level solution goes beyond just managing your church. It seamlessly connects your church to your ministry all in one platform. Blackbaud Church Management connects your staff and congregation, ensuring deeper relationships and effective ministry. To see more, visit hello.blackbaud.com/Blackbaud Church Management.
Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Group Answers. So glad that you're joining us. My name is Chris Surratt, and I am going to be your host for this one. Ordinarily, I'd be introducing my co-host, Brian Daniel, but he is still out climbing a mountain somewhere, I'm sure. Maybe a 10,000 or maybe 14,000 somewhere, because that's a weekend for Brian. I mean, he travels the world. He climbs mountains. He's just that kind of guy. So anyways, he's out, but again, for the second episode in a row, I have another co-host in Eddie Mosley. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be here.
It's good to have you all the way from Brentwood, Tennessee.
That's a long morning drive for me.
So. It can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're in downtown Nashville, basically, where Lifeway is. Brentwood is about 30 minutes south?
Yeah, about 20 minutes south.
Yeah, but with traffic, that can be...
Hour and a half,
yeah. So thanks for making the long drive. And Eddie was on the episode before, but if you missed that one, Eddie is currently... What's your title at Brentwood Baptist?
Adult Groups Minister.
Adult Groups Minister, which your main focus is off-campus groups, right?
Right. Right.
So you guys have on campus and you have off campus. It's a hybrid. So we talked about in the last episode. If you're looking at maybe checking that out, you might check out Brentwood Baptist, but you're in charge of the home groups.
Mainly home groups, right? We have a long history of strong on campus Sunday school, yep. Bible study,
yep.
And started needing to reach into our community. People aren't automatically coming to church anymore. They're not looking for a church, they don't recognize churches. But they recognize their neighbors, hopefully. And yeah. So that's part of our strategy.
Very cool. And you guys are multi-campus. How many campuses do you have?
I think
right
we have eight campuses now.
Eight campuses?
Around Middle Tennessee.
Wow. And it's a little bit of a different model. The multi-sites that I've been a part of are all satellite taught. So basically the same message from the pastor goes out to all the campuses. But you guys have individual teachers at every campus, right?
We do. Each campus has a pastor. They coordinate on the sermons throughout the school year. Summertime is whatever the local pastor feels necessary for the campuses there.
Gotcha. But they basically work off of the same message.
Correct.
But each campus pastor has their own spin on it.
Right. They'll contextualize it for their campus area.
Very cool. And with groups at your campuses, do they function on their own? You kind of have a central role, or how does that work when it comes to multi-site for you guys?
Again, each campus has a person in charge of the groups, and they're pretty well contextualizing group ministry for their campuses. So we are colleagues.
Okay. So you don't say, this is how you guys are going to do groups. Every campus is going to do it this way.
No.
They look at their community, see what would work best in their community, and then that's how they build their group system?
Correct.
Okay. That's great. I think that a lot of multi-site churches could learn from that, because you can't just take one system and make it work for every single community that you're in.
That's true. The principles have to be very high level and very flexible for the local minister who's living boots on the ground in that area.
Yeah. So, you know, outreach opportunities, serving opportunities, each campus can kind of work that into their group system, which is great. So we are in a series right now that we're calling Group Killers. These are different things that as a group's leader, if you're not paying attention to them, if you have this happen in your group, it can easily kill the group, sometimes even before it really gets started. So part one of this series, if you want to go back and listen to it, we talked about gossip and how that can really destroy a group. And I've seen that over and over. Sometimes it can come in innocently enough, like a prayer request that calls out somebody outside of the group or even inside of the group that happened to not be there that week. And so that can turn into gossip. Or if something is said in the group and then it ends up not staying in the group and gets out of that and that person finds out about it, that's a terrible thing. Or even if the group kind of turns against the church leadership and it becomes gossip about the church, that's a bad thing as well. So we talked about that in number one. And then part two, we talked about holidays. And we're in the midst of those. We are hitting the Thanksgiving, Christmas season right now as you're listening to this. And any time that a group gets disrupted in its rhythms, so if you meet weekly or even biweekly and then you don't meet for a month and you don't get together for anything, that can kill a group because people get out of the rhythm. It's hard for them to come back. And so we talked about building in parties, you know, still staying together as a group, even though you may not meet together weekly, because you should look at your group as a family, as friends. And so you want to gather together with them, maybe not do a study every week, but still do some fun things. And then calendaring, how important that is, getting it on the calendar, getting those parties as early as possible, getting that date back that you're going to start back either in January or February, getting that on the calendar so people are ready for that. So just being intentional up front when it comes to holidays or breaks. And then last time, Eddie and I talked about what happens when people don't come back to your group or they don't show up the first time. So talked about some things that you can do to help that with relationships and community building, being intentional with your studies, being prepared as a group leader. How do you facilitate a group meeting that involves everyone? So if you didn't listen to that, I encourage you to go back. That's part three. That was last week. And so this week, this is going to wrap it up. But this is something that I've seen happen in our groups occasionally through the years when we've had mixed groups or even some couples groups where there's a break in the relationship of one of the couples or even a friendship. And those, break apart. And that can really damage the group if it's not handled correctly, if there's not a loving hand on it. And so I've seen that. Have you seen that happen in your experience, Eddie, as well?
Yes. It's very tragic situations when relationships, especially married couples groups, begin to experience some separation and possible divorce.
Yeah, it's very, very hard. And a lot of it comes back to what is the mission of the group. Because if the mission of the group is just friendship and those friendships begin to divide, then the group is going to crumble. If the, you know, same thing if the group is just based on the study and then you change studies, if somebody didn't like that study, they're going to leave the group and the group can crumble. So we have to look at, is the group based on the mission of creating disciples? Is it a gospel-centered mission? And if it is, then it's going to have a better chance of surviving things like relationship breakups or changing studies or even sometimes changing leaders. But if it's based on anything else, if it's based on relationships and those relationships crumble, then the group will crumble as well. But there are some things that we're going to run through that you may want to watch out for if this happens in your group. And the first one I want to talk about is taking sides. You know, it may be easy when a relationship breaks up for the group leader or the group to pick one side or the other. And maybe sometimes there is, you know, there's an abuse situation or something like that where you need to rally around one of the parties. But if you can, it's important to not take sides, at least, you know, openly as much as possible. What would you say about that, Eddie?
Yeah, it's very tough. You have to be very intentional with that. We've had, in all of our groups over the years, we've tried to train for this. Of course, you're not concerned about it unless it hits your group. So we've gone through separations and breakups. Some of the best experiences were where the guys would get with the guy and the ladies would get with the lady and do Bible studies that way so that they didn't lose one side or the other, or enhance the taking sides, because they're not both going to come to the group on the same night.
Yep.
If there's a struggle or separation or disagreement. And so by breaking into genders, we were able to keep that group going. We were able to keep the both parties involved. If the divorce does happen, there's a good chance you'll lose both people. And so don't take that personally, but walk with whichever one will be open to you walking with them and help them connect to another group or a ministry. Get them connected to a counselor. Don't take it personally and just leave them to themselves.
I think that last point, connecting them to a counselor, is important. If you can reach out to the church, your church has counselors on staff, correct?
We do.
So that's very helpful. If not, at least reach out to a pastor. Most churches will connect them with a counselor.
Correct.
They'll have a relationship with a counseling agency or a counselor. But take that extra step. And that's important when something like this happens. Take that extra step. Help them, you know, get settled in if one stays in the group, or helping them find another counselor. Or the next point on this, which you hit on, Eddie, is help them find another group, because sometimes they just need a new community. Maybe they need more support that your group can't offer at this time, or they need something like a divorce recovery type of group. But is that something that you guys are intentional about, trying to help them find another group?
We are. And in a larger community, in a larger church that has multiple services, we've had divorced couples that actually stay in the church because of the kids, but they would go to different worship services, travel different hallways. If you're in a smaller community, that's not as possible. You may have to introduce them to a pastor of another church to keep them connected to the spiritual realm. Because as you know, Satan's going to challenge you and distract you and say it's your fault and you're unworthy. And so dropping out of church would be a natural step. And so we want to fight through that and make it a spiritual journey for them as best we can.
Yeah, so this even goes beyond finding them a new group. Sometimes they have to find a new church.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. If it's a divorce, that may be something that you need to look at. So that's good. The next point that I've got is be honest and open with the group about the relationship breakup. What do you think about that, Eddie?
my first thought is I'm not telling everybody that. When we have prayer time, I'm not going to stand up and say my wife left me. But if you've got a relationship with me, we may talk about that on the back deck after Bible study, or if you notice something's wrong with me, you may text and say, hey, you want to get coffee? I encourage our leaders. I know time is so valuable, and it's hard to make time for people. But as a leader, even as a small group member, being concerned about those in your group, in your small group family. We try to use the word family a lot to keep that relationship very strong.
I like that. Yeah.
If you see something going on, it doesn't hurt to text and say, "Hey, are you okay? Notice you looked a little different in group last week."
Mm-hmm.
So one-on-one, they're going to share their stories. Recently, we had a group leader who called and said that one of the guys thought his wife was going to get a divorce or approach him about a divorce. And so the leader's wife immediately called her, and this leader walked with that man for about 6 months. They walked individually with the spouses and able to get that marriage pulled back together and surface some issues that they had never addressed.
Mm.
Got him into a counselor. You can't save every marriage. It's not your job to save every marriage. It's your job to be a person that will listen and give good advice. But sometimes that never is that going to happen inside the large group meeting.
Yeah, no, I think that's so important, that relationship outside of the group time. And what I meant by being honest and open with the group is not trying to just push it under a rug. You know, if a couple suddenly disappears from the group, you know, it's being honest as much as you can. You shouldn't share all of the details, but just being open and honest about this, you know, they're having some issues with their marriage, or the relationship, and so they need to step out of the group for the time, you know, just not kind of hiding it from the group, because they're going to know, oh, Bob and Mary, they just disappeared. They're no longer coming to our group. What's going on there? But with the couple, you know, take that outside of the group time. And as a group leader, that's important for all of our relationships, that those important conversations happen over coffee, usually not in the middle of the of the group.
Right.
And so just investing in those relationships, you know, outside of the group time is so key. And then the last point that we're going to talk about is just using that opportunity to allow God to strengthen relationships within the group. So if you walk through a time like this, maybe choose the next study to talk about biblical relationships, strengthening those relationships, but just kind of using that moment or that opportunity of seeing a relationship break up to help the other relationships within the group. What are some things that you would suggest here?
Yeah, one of the coolest things I've seen is they take index cards and just write the couple's name on it and pass it out during this relationship study. And so if we get the Surratt's names in my family, so we're praying every day between now, this meeting and the next meeting for your marriage. And then we rotate that, mix the cards up and pass them out again so that couples are praying for couples in
That's
the group.
Good.
It's a cute little practice there. One of the things I meant to mention earlier, Chris, is we have divorce care. Most of the churches I've served has a divorce care option. And if you're a very loving and caring and compassionate leader, you're going to want to keep whoever will stay in the group in the group. We have encouraged, if you're going to divorce care, do not go to small group. Invest everything you have, all of your time, all of your study in divorce care to get healed. Much like a serious surgery, you need to stay in the hospital as long as the insurance will let you stay in the hospital for your healing. I know you want to get home. Same way, we want that person back in our group, but they need to go through a healing time before they come back to the group.
That's good. So stepping out of the group can be a good thing.
It can be.
And taking a season to go through something like divorce care or counseling or whatever
right.
that
and
is.
And you can still do the coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. Still keep that relationship.
Right.
Because ultimately it is a family.
Yep.
So you're not just writing them off because they're not attending group. That's good.
Right.
Well, this is a hard topic, but I think one that we need to think about, because if you are in this for the long haul, if you're going to have groups, you know, for years, you're probably going to face this. I mean, the odds are good that a relationship is going to break up at some point. So just, you know, being there for the couple, helping the group heal around that, helping them heal, finding new groups, new churches is something that we have to do as group leaders and as group point people, training your leaders. I love when churches, our church does this, they'll bring in professional counselors for a group training, for a leader training, to kind of help them not go into counseling, but to know what to do when some things like this happen, to know the next steps and those first steps for people. So if you can do that, I think that's a great thing. But just being aware of what happens when a relationship breakup happens in your group and then helping the group heal around that. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode, and this is going to wrap up the series of Group Killers. Thanks, Eddie, for joining us again. If people want to get a hold of you or follow you on social media, how do they do that?
EddieMosley.com, E-Mosley, M-O-S-L-E-Y, at BrentwoodBaptist.com.
Okay, so reach out to Eddie with all your questions. He answers them any time of the day, night. You want to give your cell number as well?
So people... Well, we could do that.
Just kidding. But Eddie is very available. He is one of the most prolific guys when it comes to just groups and discipleship. And so you would learn a lot by going to his website, pick up his book, follow him on social media. You're on Facebook, Instagram.
Instagram, yeah, all that.
So check that out. Have you listened to the Ask Me Anything podcast with J.D. Greer or Matt Love recently? As a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family, they've recently covered topics like, what do you do if you find out about sexual abuse situations? What is the greatest need in the American church? And is faith a gift of God? Just look up Ask Me Anything on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe. We would love it if you did that, especially on iTunes. That helps get the word out. Rate us. If you have ideas for future topics, we would love to hear those. Put those in the comments, or you can email me, chris.surratt, S-U-R-R-A-T-T, at lifeway.com. Love to hear from you so we know where to go in the future. So Brian will hopefully survive whatever mountain he's on. I haven't heard any bad reports. Actually, I have no idea where Brian is. It's fall break as we're recording this, so I'm sure he's doing something fun out there, but he'll be back for our next episode of Group Answers. But thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time.